What is the negative? Where is the drawback?
Can we get a pint for Ruby or a Red Bull or something? And welcome along to another episode of the Punters Panel. My name is Tom Nugent and I'm in the company of Ruby Walsh, Johnny Dineen and Paddy Power's very own Frank Hickey to take your questions in advance of the Cheltenham November meeting featuring the Paddy Power Gold Cup. We've got lots of really, really good questions to look forward to and we're going to rattle through them with the lads. But first, a couple of bits of housekeeping. If you're listening to this as a podcast, I'm obliged to tell you, as per the terms of my contract, that this is available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel and you can subscribe to that channel while you're at it and make sure to give the video a like so young producer Mark can get his Christmas bonus. As well as that, if you'd like to take part in the next edition of the Punters Panel, it couldn't be easier to get involved. All you have to do is just email your questions into fthm@paddypower.com and we'll pick it up from there. Right, let's start off. You ready, Ruby?
When's your contact up for renewal?
Don't know. Could be an interesting conversation after that little jibe.
But how is Mark still getting a Christmas bonus?
I got rid of 2 years ago.
Anyway, before that, let's go straight to Vernon.
I'm not happy about this.
Frank, is it more of a headache for you and other traders to price up the early jump season meetings, such as at Cheltenham in November and January the 1st, because of the unknowns and for the same reasons? Do you think there's more potential value in the betting market for us punters early in the new season?
Frank, a bit of value in the early part of the season, according to Vernon, would that be right?
It wouldn't be incorrect. Like, we have our compilation accuracy figures sent out weekly, and every year, kind of October, start of November, they take a dive because you've got the start of the jumps really ramping up, plus the tail end of the flat where, you know, the grounds change from good or fast ground to testing ground, and just trying to price them can be very difficult. And obviously we make even more risks than normal in that period. So technically, yeah, there probably is more value for punters. Now, what we do to try and correct that or improve on that would be we'd get one of the lads collate some data on early season form for trainers over the last 5 years, kind of get an idea of what trainers target, like October, November, you know, with their horses and kind of get out and pick up wins, etc., early in the season, and who are maybe a little bit later. And obviously we have a mail sent out to the lads as well weekly, kind of highlighting trainer forms. You're kind of getting a real time view of who's in form and who maybe isn't.
Johnny, from a punter's perspective, is that the case? Are you looking for trainers at this time of the year before Christmas who kind of are ready to rock?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, you'd get a pattern, and even like this year, I suppose. Well, Woody Mullins is only appearing around now, and Gordon Elliott was slow to kick off. I mean, you would have lost, like, back in his horses for the first 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of the new season, as you call it. So, look, you like to see fellas hitting the ground running. Yeah, that makes a huge difference. Absolutely, of course it does. And traditionally, the same guys will hit the ground running, and some other guys will be slow to come. Yeah,
would that be the same case from a jockey's perspective? Say you're down at the start, and you're riding for Willie, who maybe traditionally doesn't really get rolling until December. The horses are obviously fit, but are you shaping up the race, looking at trainers who maybe this will be ready to go, that'll be ready to go?
Yeah, but even more so what it looked like in the paddock, Tom, when you'd be standing, waiting, talking, looking, you'd know what's fancy in the race, have a quick look, like, did it look heavy, did it look light? You'd be trying to size them up in the ring, but I must say it wouldn't be incorrect. Was the best line way I ever heard a selling. Yeah. Tell
it. Wouldn't be incorrect. Somebody, it's a known unknown.
Someone heard someone trying to tell somebody else they were right.
Wouldn't be incorrect. As you said, you need to be more kind, Frank, actually. All right. Next question from Jake.
Is there non-big yard horse, such as Paul Nichols or Willie Mullins trained horse, that you're quite excited to see this season, whether it be going over fences, bumpers or hurdles? The horse that I'm particularly looking forward to seeing is a horse called Johnny Who, trained by John Joe O'Neill. He beat Hermes Helen in the point to point by some margin, and he won a nice bumper towards the back end of the season, the same day as Mirager West won his bumper in Ireland. His form's already started to work well with his bumper, because Mr. Mackay, who was in fifth that day, has come out and won since. And he won by about 5 to 6 lengths. And he looked pretty decent, even though that was on good ground and his bump was on heavy ground. But that was my horse that I'm looking forward to seeing. And I was just keen to find out if there's anyone you fancy.
Okay, question and statement from Jake, the double whammy. Go ahead. Any non-Willie Mullins, Nicky Henderson, Paul Nichols trained horses you're looking forward to seeing sure. this season?
Jake has convinced me I should be watching Johnny Who.
Okay. Would you care to maybe try for one other one? Just because we're here and cameras are just, on and stuff.
I don't think he's contractually obliged to care.
I've just kind of glazed over. That was...
We'll come back to you.
That was a Frank impression, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd be interested in Telem, that French horse Telem. That's one out of left field. That won the staying hurdle race in France at the end of last season. Beat a lot of Irish horses, Classical Dream and Thierry Flange, beat him out of sight. Apparently, it's English owned. Is coming for the stayers hurdle, and has the potential to be go off favourite. I would have thought. So he's a very very dangerous horse, I'd imagine. He will probably come with a John Wayne lookalike on him, more than likely at the same time. So that's probably going to count against him when the time comes. But I'd say he's a very, very dangerous
horse. That's harsh. That is harsh. Very different way of riding in France.
I know, but I don't know. I French in general, I'm not a fan of French jockeys, even flat hard jumps, to be honest.
What was the was it Golden 60 Gabby Leander's horse that won one of the trials last season?
Gold Tweet.
Sorry.
And that man gave some exhibition in Cheltenham at the same time. The chap that drove that.
Brilliant the first day. I'd say he wouldn't mind another go the second day. But I've often had those days and all time myself.
I've never rode like that at the same time.
Francis, horse not trained by any of the big stables that you're looking forward to this season?
Irish Panther for Eddie O'Grady. Okay. Banging the drum for that in bumpers last year. It's going to be a nice novice hurdler, potentially win a good handicap. Bowens Park for Henry Daly, massive eye catcher in the entry bumper. And
that could be one for the EBF final.
I was actually thinking the same. Great minds, Tom. And I don't know, Lucinda Russell's board line a big yard now, isn't it? But Giovinco for chasing.
Okay.
Really like him.
Iroko. Winner of the Fred Winter or Martin Pipe. Apologies, yes, well done. Excellent. Right, let's move on. Philip.
So if you have a horse and your kind of long-term goal is to run at the Cheltenham Festival, do you think it's a positive or is it detrimental to the horse's chances by running them this early in the season around Cheltenham?
Right. Cheltenham Festival, with a view to running a horse at the Cheltenham Festival, is it a good idea to run at a Cheltenham meeting to give it a bit of course form?
I would say it's no negative, Ruby. even looking at last year, you had plenty ran there and ran well. And of the horse that won at the festival, the Real Whacker, Langer Dan, Energamine, Delta Work, Stage Star, and Seddon all run at Cheltenham earlier in the season. Of them, only the Real Whacker, Stage Star, and Seddon won. And Seddon actually won over hurdles. And then he went and won the 2.5 mile handicap chase. So I wouldn't have it as a negative at all.
Back to you in the studio, Ruby. What do you think of that?
Facts are the facts.
The facts are the facts. That's a man prepared. You've just come here. Oh, fuck it, I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't see any negative to it.
He's not incorrect. What he says is not incorrect.
What is the negative? Where is the drawback?
Can we get a pint for Ruby or a Red Bull or something? Johnny, what do you think? Horses that are going to run at the November meeting, would they get a mark up with a view to the festival at the...
I'd say there won't be many Irish horses come to the November meeting and with a view of having a chance at March, to be honest. It'll be English horses, like particularly for the novice races, that if they had to have a say in the festival equivalents, they may well. Like Altior, I think, was able to win at the November meeting and go to win the Supreme, and Hugh Card won that novice hurdle, was favoured in the Supreme. But Irish horses won't come there, like, and they're the ones that probably will eventually start winning those novice races. Like, it'll be more in English horse. It's not a negative, like, experience-wise, but, like, Willie Mullins, like, sent, let's say, Hub Risco to Cheltenham around that time last year. Do you know what I mean? So he's not going to have horses ready to run it at November in Cheltenham and then go on to
The one Irish yard that might is Henry's. Put the kettle on, a few more of them. Henry is the one Irish trainer that might have one in November that could still be there in March.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah, yeah. But obviously, if ones will run in handicaps to confirm marks and that all kind of stuff, that's probably not a bad. Like, a Shoot Force was doing that last year and didn't make
the cross-country race as well. Isn't there one in November, the handicap?
There is. Yeah, it
flips over then. It's a conditions race in the festival.
Yeah, I think that we need to go back to the handicap.
You won't have that many winners, especially from the novice races, anyway, that win the... do the double, go from November to March. Very few.
Okay, there you go. Cormac, you're up.
Question for Frank. How do November meetings stack up in terms of turnover? I know it wouldn't be anywhere near March, but would it come close to, say, the Dublin Racing Festival or meetings like that?
Frank, turnover for the November meeting? Give away all the industry secrets there? Are Paddy Power doing well, are they?
Yeah, just like Cheltenham, just people love Cheltenham. Like, obviously you have Cheltenham Festival way out ahead on turnover, then you have Aintree, Royal Ascot, Goodwood Galway that week would be ahead of it. But like, yeah, look, turnover's always good whenever Cheltenham's on. Okay. Wouldn't be negative.
There you go. Not a negative. Okay.
Why no chance to question, though?
I don't know. I'm not.
How does it stack up to the Dublin Racing Festival is what the man asked you.
It'd be probably better than the Dublin Racing Festival, potentially.
There's your answer now.
There you go.
But I can check them just...
Well done, Ruby. Here, do you want those?
Catch the imagination.
Well, someone may as well do it.
Great result. Thanks, Peter. Coming up, we have league action live on Friday night, followed by three more games live on Saturday, then two more massive games live on Sunday. And don't forget, league action live on Monday night. Then it's over to Europe for the big one, live on Tuesday. Then the even bigger one, live on Wednesday. Then it's the other Europe.
Sometimes a break isn't a bad idea. So, if ever you want to take time out from betting, use Paddy Power's Take a Break tool to pause your account. Paddy Power.
Welcome back to the Punters panel, and don't forget, if you're watching this on YouTube, to subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel to give producer Mark the much-needed love that he deserves. Right, Sam, question from you.
I'm a massive fan of previous course form, especially around Cheltenham. I've just read 11 of the last 12 winners of the Paddy Power had at least two runs around Cheltenham beforehand. Why is course form, particularly around Cheltenham, so important?
I'll tell you one thing, Tam, it's not a negative anyway. Ruby, we'll start with you. Why is Cheltenham course form so important in a race, a marquee race, like the Paddy Power Gold Cup?
I hadn't looked at it in that much detail, but I would imagine where you find most of your Paddy Power Gold Cup winners are as second season novices, and they have most likely ran in novice chases through the winter at some point in Cheltenham over a similar distance between 2 miles and 2.5 miles. Very few of them will have ran over 3 miles. The real stayers, I rode a few of those in Paddy Powers, that when they drop from 3 miles back down to 2.5 at Cheltenham, they weren't quick enough. But you'll find a lot of them have had a run in a 2 mile chase or a 2.5 mile chase in Cheltenham, either in a handicap or in a novice. And that's where you end up with your Paddy Power Gold Cup winners.
Okay, Johnny, again, similar question to what I asked you earlier, but are you looking for that Cheltenham form, particularly for a handicap chase, or say, are you looking for that bit of course experience?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose, as Ruby said, and a second season novice is one you'd look for in a race like the Paddy Power chase. I think that's where you'd be going. And as you said, they probably have run once or twice the previous winter, maybe in a race like the Turners or the Arkle or something like that, maybe down the field somewhere. Or maybe in one of those handicap chases, the 2.5 mile handicap chase at the Cheltenham Festival itself. So, look, experience in any sport counts for a lot. I mean, even if it's going to a place in a car first time, you'll know that the second time you'll be going, you'll find it your way easier, and the third time. So every time you turn up at a place, it's going to become easier. Then you must have an advantage over a horse that's making his debut there anyway, surely. It's common sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. Frank, from a trading perspective, are you clipping in the horses with a little bit of form? Are you kind of looking at what the second season novice maybe a bit too obvious nearly in the market?
Yeah, but like you said, anything that's run well there before is obviously a positive. And, you know, you're more looking at horses who've been to Cheltenham, maybe appeared not to act around there, and using that as a negative. Like the horse that I kind of half fancy for the Paddy Power potentially, Antipost, is Harper's Brook. He's run once over hurdles and twice over fences. If you look at his form, you'd say, oh, he doesn't like Cheltenham at all. But he's running great accompany over fences the first time, and then he ran in the Ultima, which is a trip far too long for him. So you might look at that and go, he's had his two runs at Cheltenham over fences and put a line through him. But I would look at it and go, yeah, Cheltenham's no problem for him.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Vernon's back with another quick one for everyone.
A question for all members of the panel. A quickie. one-word answers, if at all possible. I say the word Cheltenham and you say...
Frank.
Stress.
Johnny.
Magical.
Ruby.
Not one word to describe it. Sorry, Vernon.
There you go. That's why he gets paid the big bucks. Patrick, you're up next.
Ahead of the cross-country race at the November meeting, does any of the panel have any fancies or anti-post fancies for that division this season?
Anti-post fancies for the cross-country? Johnny, we'll start with you. Anything to look forward to?
The cross-country is like Elliot's. He's got the first three in the market. He has the first two from last year, and possibly Conflated might even join them. I see him in the betting for the one in March. So, look, it looks like a race that, like, maybe Enda Bulger, who had a saying at one time, now it's all about it, Gordon. He's the one really targeting. It looks like he's made a big effort to... There's one on the board anyway, immediately before we go. Anyway, so just to make sure his numbers are somewhere reasonable anyway. So that does help with... And he'll definitely have one... Like, he's certainly to win the cross-country every year by the looks of things now for the time being anyway.
Okay, Gordon Elliott winning the cross-country till the end of time? Is that the case?
Yeah, I can see exactly. Johnny has nailed it. Can I think of anything that might come out of Willie's going in that direction? Something that's lost its way, maybe like a Statler, but he'd even qualify for Hunter Chase at this stage, so I don't know.
Frank?
It's very difficult to look beyond, like, Delta Work if it's soft ground, Galvin if it's good ground, Conflated even, you'd stick with what's proven. They really need to make this a handicap again, I think, just to, you know...
Liven it up a little bit.
Yeah, like, it's just you're sending these, like, you know, they're still grade 1.5, grade 2 horses over this. It's just making it, like, really uncompetitive. The only one I could kind of see maybe half, I'm not even sure what the plan will be, but maybe Vanillier just with a view to come back to the Grand National. So he's obviously finished second at the Grand National last year. You're lucky at Cheltenham, he's won Albert Bartlett. Would they potentially use the cross country as a prep into the National?
Okay, very good. Andrew is back with one for all three of our panellists.
The 2 mile chase division is starting to look a little bit thin to me with obviously Energumene out for the season. It's all down to El Fabiolo, isn't it? Who do you see coming out of the pack to challenge him? I'm not a massive fan of John Bon. I'd love to see Dysart Dynamo get his act together and become a big challenger. But who do you expect to emerge from those lower down in the market?
Ruby, 2 mile chase division. Like Andrew was saying, could Dysart Dynamo be a feature?
What's he taking now? Two tired falls at Cheltenham. One is a hurdler, one is a chaser. Not so sure the undulations of Cheltenham really suit him. And look, to me it's El Fabiolo v John Bond. Maybe Gentleman to me, if you got a good rub of green through the year, could be the one. He's a great one winner at 2 miles, but I think you're right, there's not massive strength and depth in that division, and with a bit of luck, you'll still get a good clash if John Bon and El Fabiolo can get there unbeaten.
Frank, anyone to give those champion chasers a fright from outside the kind of prominent names?
There's very little, bar, you know, if Fernie Hollow can get back. He's got the ability, but it's a big, massive if. Yeah, to me, you just hope that El Fabiolo and John Bon get there so you have a good clash, because if one of them doesn't get there, be looking like a bit of a...
damp squib.
Yes, exactly.
Johnny, would you be agreeing with the two lads?
Yeah, absolutely. Even at this early stage, it looks a two-horse race. I couldn't see anything else getting in from the field anyway, to be honest.
Lovely stuff. Now, Jake, you'll be delighted to hear, is back with an extremely long question. Over to you, Jake.
Do you guys feel that the early Cheltenham meetings of the season have any sort of importance of form going towards the festival? Personally, I don't think they do. Obviously, it's nice to get course and distance form, but I also feel that horses aren't 100% all the time, and, you know, maybe the horses second or third are the ones to watch out for. I know, like, take Hermes Allen, for instance, and he's going to lead to my second question later on. You know, he looked great early on in the season at Cheltenham, and then when it came to the festival, he looked like he wanted 4 mile as opposed to 2.5 in the Valley Moor.
Ruby.
Thanks, Jack.
Jake,
sorry. I don't know. It's hard to know. A lot of the races at the November meeting are in a different bracket to what you get at the festival anyway. So you can't just run a pen through it and say those horses aren't festival horses. A lot of them, whether they ran in Cheltenham in November or didn't, wouldn't be running at the festival anyway. It's a completely different meeting. Mm-hmm. So you will get horses who progress out of the Paddy Power Gold Cup, out of the Schlur, maybe out of the Greatwood, and out of the novice chases, more so the novice hurdles. yeah, it might have no relevance, as you say, Jack, on what happens at the Cheltenham Festival, but has Erty up and put the kettle on.
I knew you were going to go. I'm going to correct you, but I just said no, go on.
Has Erty up, whenever we look at it, has Erty up when he's novice chaser, put the kettle on. I think Defi Desai did 1 year, they win a Schlur, bobbed out, but there's loads of horses, if you go back through it, that crop up in Cheltenham in November that go and win again in the match.
Ferries just pick one horse like Carmazan and goes, oh, he was impressive when he won early in the season and couldn't back it up. Like, you know, at Fisher's Cross, what was the new one? Didn't they run?
All-Star.
You know, there's loads of them have,
You can chuck him out here, we're thinking off the top of our heads.
You know.
No, I like, think that's too broad.
Captain Chris won an Arkle. He ran a November meet. I think he was second in a novice chaser. Like, there's loads of them have run well November and won. You just have to take every horse individually and assess them, and you can't just like make a sweeping statement.
Exotic Dancer went one handicap at November, yeah. December, second in the Gold Cup. I think that's way too broad a statement.
Vauban, champion early November. Oh no, sorry. Different.
He's talking about Cheltenham in November.
Sorry, it was a bad attempt at the gag. It was terrible. It was terrible. Anyway. Right, finally, bringing up a three-timer on this particular episode of the Punters Panel, it's Vernon.
Ruby, be honest, as you always are, of course. Do you think there's a temptation for some jockeys to not take risks early in the new jump season for fear of missing out on the festivals through injury?
Early in the jump season, Vernon, no. I mean, early in the jump season, what are you going to do? Take the week, first week in November off because you want to be fit for the middle of March? No, maybe you get to the end of February into early March and might take less rides or have your ride in the festival. But that's as you get closer. I mean, you can't, as a jockey, decide in March that you're not going to ride March or not going to ride November, December, January, February because you want to ride March. Unfortunately, that won't pay the bills for anybody either. So, no. Not early in the season. Early in the season is to look at the draw.
Look at the draw. So says Ruby Walsh. Vernon, thank you very much for your question. And that is the final question on this particular episode of the Punters Panel. My thanks to Ruby, Johnny and Frank. And of course, thanks to you for watching on YouTube and indeed subscribing to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel or listening as a podcast. Remember, if you're having a bet at the November meeting or indeed on any other day, remember to always gamble responsibly. And don't forget also, if you want to send in a question to feature on the next edition of the Punters Panel, all you have to do is email it in at fthm@paddypower.com and producer Mark will take it for there. But for now, my thanks to the lads, my thanks to you for listening, and that's the Punters Panel, straight from the horse's mouth.